Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. You know, Mike McGlathery out of Shorewood in Chicago plays all of our audios. I believe he started to play our videos throughout the world on PowTalk. And if you're not hooked up with PowTalk, you might want to get involved in PowTalk. Don't it cost you anything? You just sign up, and it's a great thing. You can hear, my gosh, at the different Grace preachers, and I recommend you do that. Be diligent, you know, search it out, make sure they're teaching the right thing. Everybody in here pretty well knows what the right thing is, so they don't have a problem with discerning. But some people don't. Some people are lost. Some people are lost who think they're saved. And I gave you an example of that earlier. They think they're saved. Just like the lady down at the county that I talked to. Just like Freddie Cloutis was, and he'd been in DC's class for 20 years. And he got saved on the way after we had that 50th anniversary for him over at the church in Pensacola. He had to stop on the way, pull over side of the interstate, got saved there on the way back to the interstate. So there's plenty of, Roger Flipball, just plenty of people who think that they were saved all those years, and then all of a sudden, they come under conviction and they do trust the Lord. So as long as you trust it before you die, you're good, okay? But if not, you're deceived. And you cannot, and this is the big deal. Let's just go over and look at it real. Go over to 1 Corinthians, would you? I hear people all the time talking about, it's just there. Can't you understand what that scripture says? Just like we just read right here in Acts 13:38 versus Acts 2:38. We're going to cover them both again real quick. But they said, well, how come you can't understand that? Me and Jim was just talking about it. It's so simple. And it's because of this right here. It should be right here. Let me put my fingers on it. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 10, but God hath revealed them, talking about these things that the Lord has got prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we know that we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's our blessings, okay? We're not blessed with health, wealth, or anything else down here. You know, the Lord gives you your intellect, your mind, etc., to do with what you want to do with it. You have a free will to do anything you want because all things are lawful according to the Scriptures. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, the capital S, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save, which means except, the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And this, that we're going to explain that, but that verse 11 is something else. I can know, as we talked about in the very first class, just a brief, I can look at Jim when he's down there trying to sell me some furniture. I can tell if he's getting agitated with me because I haven't decided to buy it, or vice versa. I can see by his actions that he's just thrilled because he knows he's got me hook, line, and sinker. You know, it's the same with buying a car. You ever go out and buy a car? Well, it's the same way with a preacher. You know, you can look out pretty much and tell. I can look at Carl and see if he's understanding this, what I'm saying. Or I can see a confused state on him. Ain't that right, Carl?
Yeah.
I mean, you pay attention to people and their actions and so forth. But words mean things. So I can understand. I can look at Jerry and I can tell, well, he's conscientious right now. But I can tell when he's in pain. When he really can't concentrate. Now listen, but how can you understand the things of God? You cannot understand the things of God until you are saved. People can tell you, well, just read this. Well, that don't mean anything to you unless you have trusted what? That Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of your sins according to the Scriptures, right? That He was buried, and we know He was buried in a rich man's grave, but that's just for some other learning. And He was resurrected on the third day according to the Scriptures. Until you trust that, you're not going to understand anything in this Bible. Oh, you can read the words. You might understand, well, it says you're going to hell, but really I don't believe in hell. So what does that mean? Well, see, you don't have it yet.
It's important to put the justification
because people will know what that means, but they don't believe it for their justification.
And you're justified from all things as if it had never happened, according to Romans 5:1. Now, but what I'm saying is, you cannot understand, because the Spirit of God does not dwell in you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has to dwell in you. And how does He dwell in you? He sets up residence in your body the moment that you trust the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of Christ, it's the gospel of the grace of God. But it's the same saving salvation, and we'll cover that in a minute. But how do you get the Spirit of God? How do you get the Holy Spirit inside you? You trust that gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. And at that moment, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says something. Let's go over there and look at it. And hold on to 1 Corinthians here, because I hadn't even started on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit," that's the capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, "are we all baptized into one body." Baptism is an identification. It's not getting dunked in this dispensation, but it was during Peter's time into water. But this is into one body, the body of Christ. We are all members of that body the moment you trust. It's just like if someone is 10 years old and they actually see the gospel and can trust the gospel and know what it means, they're in the body as if Brother Jerry over here, or Joe, either one, you're both in your late 70s, that 10-year-old has got all the same spiritual blessings as they've had, no matter if they got saved at 10 years old themselves. It's not an accumulation of benefits or blessings. You have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. Now, so you're baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. At the moment this was written, it was talking about the gospel of Christ, which was being preached from Acts 13 here until Acts 28, before the middle wall was removed. You weren't involved in this. That Jew and Gentile that it referenced are all Greeks at that point in time when it was written. Of course, it applies to us now, all of us ungodly Gentiles, when the middle wall was ripped out and we all became under sin. Now, with that knowledge, let's flip back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What I'm trying to say is, if you think you're saved, you're still going to hell. If you think you're saved, and you're really not. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." That's us who have trusted the gospel. "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you cannot know the things that are freely given to us of God. "Which these things also," verse 13, "we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." At this point in time, you will start believing what's written on the pages of your King James Bible. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wrote the book. The Holy Spirit now, once you've trusted, the Holy Spirit sets up residence in your body. It's tabernacled in your body. And He's there. So, you can compare spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, and this is where someone who is lost, right here, they're called a natural man. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." You see that? You cannot receive the things of the Holy Spirit of God if you are lost. I don't care if you think you're saved, unless you know so. It's not a think so, it's a know so. It's not a head game, it's a heart thing. So, "not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I've got friends of mine, I'm telling you, I've got a cousin of mine, I've got a PhD. He can't see anything. Now, they want him to teach Sunday school in this Methodist church over there in West Pensacola. He's lost. But he's got to pray every meal. He's praying to deaf ears, because the Lord does not hear the prayers of an unsaved individual. The only one he's going to hear is, Lord, I trust you and what your son did on Calvary for me. I trust that. Save me. He'll do it then. But he doesn't hear you. I used to pray like a mad dog. I prayed for, usually it was relationships. Anybody been there?
Been there. Wrote the book.
And I didn't get them. I lost. The Lord didn't hear me, is that right? Well, he didn't. You know, it wasn't mad with me. But I know I was born in enmity with God. Hatred. I was still a sinner. But when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in April of 1986, things began to change. I started being able to read the Word and understand some things. Did I understand all? No. Do I still not understand them all? No, I don't. Man, there's some things in here I want to know, I don't know. It's so many that I don't know that I do know, okay? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I want you to see that. But he is spirit. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, go over, if you would. Let me see where I want to go from what I'm thinking about. I had 14 things on my mind right then. Now, let me pull one of them out. Go to Romans 8. And go over to, hold on to Romans 8, and go over to 1 Corinthians. Now, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18, we're still talking about that natural man. That natural man. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But of them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And that's what I'm talking about. Usually, I'm not saying smart people can't be saved. When I say smart, we're all smart. But I'm talking about the so-called genius level. They have a difficulty of being saved. It doesn't mean they can't be. But they really don't want to trust. They think they can figure this out for themselves.
They rely on themselves.
It's themselves. But you see that the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them, because they're still a natural man. Natural man. Okay? Now, I want you to go over to Romans 8, which you've already got there. Romans chapter 8. Now, the moment, the absolute moment that you trust the gospel of the grace of God, and then again, I'm going to tell you what it is again. You're going to hear it a few more times. The gospel of the grace of God is that Christ was crucified. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how you're saved. If you trust that. And what does that do? It justifies you as if you had never sinned. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But before I go there, back up one chapter. Do you think, by being saved in this room today, do you think that you're never going to do any kind of sin in the flesh?
Just turn on.
Do you think that you have become sinless in the flesh. But you have people out there that's telling you you've got to clean up your act. That once you trust the gospel, whatever gospel they're preaching, and it's not this one, that you won't no longer sin in the flesh. If you do, you really never trusted to begin with.
Yep.
They're there. And them people are troubled all the time because they know they can't be good enough. They know they fail every day. But here's the thing. The Apostle Paul, which was the greatest apostle ever, it says in Romans 7:15, Paul said it, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." What he doesn't want to do is what he's doing. That's what happens out here in the world. If the preacher and the individual that's involved that thinks they're saved, and that preacher has told them the truth of how to get saved, he should have explained some other things. But mostly they didn't. And I'm going to cover that. But Paul says, "For what I do, I allow not. I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it." That causes conflict within yourself because you're not good enough. You think you're not saved any longer. "For what I would, that do I not. What I want to do, I just not doing it. But what I hate, that do I." Well, you know, I'm there. You know, I do things that I hate. Verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth, if you're saved. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's the sin that dwelleth in you. And it's going to dwell in you, in a saved individual, as long as you've got blood running around in your veins. You are a sinner. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Do you all realize there's no good thing about you? You're alive in your flesh. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You know, we all want to stop doing what we're doing. But it feels good, tastes good, looks good, whatever the case may be, and we're going to give in to it. And religion tells you, if you give in to it, you got to walk the aisle for Jesus, come up here and confess your sins.
Rededicate your life.
Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me." Now look, that's in the flesh. Going over to Romans 8:1. I want to show you this because this is something that the world just doesn't preach. The moment, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Did God impute any trespasses to you? No, he did not. So God right here, and his righteousness... did not impute any trespasses unto you. So the moment you trust the gospel of the grace of God, you are automatically, as we've already said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, baptized into a spiritual body called the body of Christ. Now, by the Holy Spirit, not with the Holy Spirit. And this becomes your position in Christ. And this is in the body of Christ. You are, because it said, it's God's righteousness that's placed upon your account. You are 100% as righteous as God Almighty. You're not God, but it's His righteousness that's placed upon your account. Every saved individual that's listening to me, that's in this room or whatever, your position is His. But in Romans chapter 7, what took place Oh, that's your everyday walking around in the flesh thing. You're going to sin. You're going to lust. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. What's that called? Condition. This is your everyday walking around condition in the flesh. What you try to do, the moment you got saved, you were right here. But then you lasted a couple of hours and uh-oh. Whether it was after a flesh or after a new Corvette or something, I want that.
3 seconds.
Dave's got one. I want one. I've got to have it. I'll sell my soul to get that. I've heard that. So then, your everyday walking around condition is no good. But I want to show you something. Hold on to 8. Hold on to Romans 8. We're going to come back to it. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, I think. Well, I want to go there, but that's not exactly where I want to go yet. Yeah, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. And the world teaches this. Know you not that the unrighteous... Now, the key word here is unrighteous. Was any unrighteous people in here?
Yeah, no, I was made righteous.
Well, if you're in Christ, you're righteous. Because God said you were in 2 Corinthians 5:19. But this is talking about the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's 100% correct. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drinkers, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But the next thing is, but you are washed in what? The blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
When you trusted that gospel, it's the application of the blood. But you are sanctified. You're set apart to be used by God. But you are what? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Look at here now. What's the next verse? You were here. You trusted the gospel of the grace of God. Now you're here. But you're still walking around in this old flesh, which we're going to cover. You can't do what the Lord wants you to do. You want to try. But it all don't feel good, look good, taste good. So you're going to get back into this old fleshly thing as long as the contaminated blood is running around in your veins. It tells you in Romans 6 to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin. You've got to reckon yourselves to be dead. Because if you don't, you're going to go crazy. Because you're going to find out you're going to do something that's wrong. God knows. The Bible says I should be good. But look at the next verse 12. How many things are lawful? Says, all things are lawful unto me, Paul says. But all things are not expedient. They're not good for you. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You've just got through reading in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15 through the end of the chapter. He couldn't keep everything right. He wanted to, but what kept him from doing it? Sin that dwelleth in him. He says, all things are lawful. Does this right here, when we preach this, does it cause anybody to want to run out and kill somebody?
No.
No, it doesn't. You want to run out and get drunk right now? Because you can? No. Now, I may go out and eat too much for lunch. Gluttony, you know. But I'm going to do that. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Yeah, Irma never heard verse 11 or 12 ever in the Baptist church. It would stop after 10 and let you dwell in that.
It's so important, guys. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll go to verse 23. Paul wrote this. He says, oh, it looks like you just seen this, did Over in verse 12, 6. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They're not good for you. That's crazy.
You've all learned that lesson a time or two.
You know, it's lawful to be a snake handler. Well, in some states it's not. But I'm talking about if you wanted to do it yourself. But you know what? I watched that guy get bit by that moccasin and kill him. No, I wasn't there. I saw it on TV. But it was lawful to reach down and pick up that serpent. Because he believed, you know, Mark 16. Well, that don't apply to this day. But it wasn't expedient, was it? It killed him. You know, it's I don't smoke anymore, and I can pick on all the smokers I want. I smoke 4 packs a day when I quit. So the thing is, smoking cigarettes, I don't care if you do it or not. It's just a nasty habit. I burned myself. I got all over my neck and everything. All my clothes got burned up because I dropped one on it, you know. Especially when them leisure suits back in the 70s, oh, that would set you on fire. Oh, man. So, I done been there. But if you want to smoke, smoke. You're going to harm yourself. Why? It's lawful. Yeah, it is. It's lawful. But it's not convenient. And it doesn't edify. It's liable to kill you with lung cancer. You're liable to have COPD. You're liable to have emphysema. You're liable to have a lot of things. Go and drink. I don't care if you drink. We got a lot of people in here drinking. Not to excess, but they drink. But if you drink in excess over a given time period, you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver. Is that expedient? No. But it's lawful to do. So, it's important when the Lord tells you something through the Apostle Paul twice, and I'm going to show you another verse in Galatians in a minute, but before we do that, I want you to go back over to Romans chapter 8. The moment you trust the gospel of the grace of God, in verse 1, this takes place. Just after Paul wrote in chapter 7, he kept on doing the things he didn't want to do. There is therefore now, in the first verse, a lot of condemnation? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, in Christ means trusting the gospel of the grace of God. And for this time period we're living in, this dispensation of the grace of God, you're in the body of Christ. You're not in the little flock, as Peter taught. You know, he was teaching to Israel. But, let's continue to read. Verse 4 of 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is walking? Walking means you have trusted the gospel. You're no longer in the flesh as far as God sees you. He looks down upon you as he did the Apostle Paul. He sees his Son. Amen. Because you're in his body and Jesus Christ is the head of that body. He does not see Jim. He don't see Dave. He don't see nobody but his Son. And your members in particular. Wow. You mean I can go out and just do anything? Yeah, you can. But why would you? You had a man that... I might get emotional on this. You had a man that died for you.
Amen.
Why would you want to go out and just rape, pillage, whatever you want to call it today? Why would you? Even though it's lawful for you to do. I just can't understand it. Now, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, they do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You were born in enmity, hatred against God. And the carnal mind is what you have when you're an unsaved natural person. For it is not the subject of the law of God, neither indeed can be. Listen, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God if you have not trusted the gospel of the grace of God. I don't care if you want to tithe your life away, help the old lady across the street, feed the old man that's poor, give everything you've got, sell all things. It ain't going to help you one iota unless you're saved. Good works will not get you into heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are created unto good works. And we will do good things for people. But we don't do it to get salvation, maintain salvation, or to keep from losing our salvation. Why, Jim? Because we're complete in Him. Amen. We're sealed unto the day of redemption, according to Ephesians 4, 30. Ephesians 1, 13. 2 Corinthians 1:22, you're sealed. You cannot be unsealed. God cannot deny Himself. If He could, God would be a liar, and He is not a liar. Let all men be liars. So then, verse 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm not in the flesh, but you see me. I'm right here. My position is in Christ. Amen. But you are, and it tells you right there in the next verse, but you, as plural, ye, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, there's an if here, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. How do you get that Spirit again to dwell in you? Trust in the gospel of the grace of God, that He was crucified for the forgiveness of sins. On the third day, He raised Him up after He was buried. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's the only way to get it. He is none of His. I actually believe the words on this page. He is none of His. You're just a carnal man. That's what it was speaking of in verse 6. Being carnally minded is death. But you know what? There's something above and beyond the first death if you're lost. And if you're saved. What's behind after the... We're all going to die unless the rapture takes place. Your body's going to go back to the dust. Your spirit goes back to God according to Ecclesiastes. But you know what? Somewhere along the line, at that great white throne judgment over Revelation 20, those people that are lost, that are in hell right now, in hell right now, they're not going to be involved in the rapture. They're not going to be involved in the second coming. And Peter and the little flock and all those are going to be have their atonement. They're going to be raised up to stand on their feet, and every knee's going to bow then. They're going to realize Jesus Christ is the Lord. And where's He going to send them? He's going to send them into a lake of fire and brimstone for eternity, and you're going to be separated from God for all time. It's an infinite time period with God. God does not recognize time as we know time. But for us, when we go up at the rapture, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. All of our blessings are in spiritual places. Let's continue back over in Romans 8. Now, verse 11. Well, I think I'll read 10. And if Christ be in you, and He is in me, the body is dead because of sin. It's going to die. The first death. You don't want to go to the second death. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. It just told me it's life because I'm made righteous by God. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus, that's the Spirit of God, from the dead dwell in you, and it does in the saved individual, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're going to hell. I don't care what anybody else tells you. There is no second chance. There's no way out. Tim LaHaye wrote a bunch of garbage when he wrote that Left Behind series. That you're going to get a second chance. Grace goes away after the rapture takes place. And if you've ever heard the gospel of the grace of God, you're doomed and damned and headed to hell. I don't care how good you think you are. And you're not going to... You're going to go out there? Now, well, listen. What happens... Now, all of y'all can't have this because you've heard the gospel. But if somebody in the hotel, for example, has never heard the gospel of the grace of God, never. They know about Jesus, but they never heard the gospel. And the rapture takes place today. They will get another opportunity to bless the seed of Abraham. See, we don't bless no Jew because we're all under the same blanket. And it's all the same salvation today. There's no such thing as the nation of Israel as according to the Bible. There is according to the United Nations, but not according to Israel. The Jews and everyone else today, the ungodly Gentiles and the Greeks, are all saved by this one gospel. But that's going to end when the rapture takes place. Then the 7 years of trials and tribulations is going to set itself up. Well, the man of desolation set himself up at the mid-period of 3.5 years. Back in here, but you have to see in verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, let's come on down. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Well, how do you mortify the deeds of the body? It's through the Holy Spirit. Your position is 100% correct. It's just so simple. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You cannot unadopt. You can give your original son away, your natural born son or daughter away, but you, once you adopt, you cannot unadopt. You're an adopted son of God. Let's continue reading verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It does not mean you're Christ and you cannot do the same things that he's doing. But the fact of it is, you're a joint heir with Christ. I'm going to tell you, it just don't get any better. You know, when we run around out here, I'll tell you something. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You know, in verse 1 it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, that should tell people something that's in this dispensation. It's in the heavens. Hold right there. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. I think that's where it's at. Maybe I'm wrong. No, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's past tense, blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of them. You know, go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Well, I want to read verse 1 first. 2:1. And you... this is a saved person. Hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, this is a past tense passage, hath, it's already happened, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And hath, it's already a done deal, it's taken place, hath raised us up to sit together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're there right now. We're there right now. That's what it says. But go back over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Most people groan. Verse 2 of chapter 5. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house. That's a body that we're going to get, which is from heaven. We're going to get a spiritual body, just like Luke 24:39, that Jesus Christ got a body without blood in it. A spirit body. It's not a spirit, it's a spirit body. It's got flesh and bones, and we're all going to get one of those. I hope you're going to get one. You're not going to get one if you're not saved. Now, I want you to go over here to show you something. In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5. This is for saved people. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Well, Jesus Christ was a man. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God walking around down here on the earth. It says we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Listen to this. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. You're not supposed to believe for your salvation what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says, because it's the wrong gospel, Jim. That's right. What you want is what's coming out of heaven directly to the Apostle Paul. He said, follow me as I also follow Christ. Now, it just told you, don't follow Christ in the flesh. Now, how many people are preaching that? No. They go, you got, I want to be Christ-like. What would Jesus do? Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus would do at WWJD. He'd say, follow Paul. I'm going to get to that. Now, but I got to read this in verse 17. This eliminates being born again. I know what people mean when they say, I'm born again. They're wrong. They've been taught wrong. Because this says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, trusting the gospel of the grace of God, he is a what? A new creature. You cannot be born again and be a created individual. That's simple. The only one that's ever been born again was Jesus Christ. He was begotten of the Father when he resurrected him from the dead. The only one. My goodness. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I've already read the 19 to you. I'm going to read 20 first. All right. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. The moment you get saved, you become an ambassador for Christ. I will tell you, you're not a Christian. Christians are the little flock of Luke chapter 12, verse 32. You are a new creature in Christ, and you are an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. I'll mess up once in a while because I was raised that way. If you're saved, you're a Christian. Well, I guess I can say it like this. I'm a Christian through Paul, from the Jesus Christ. But I'm an ambassador, the Bible says, and I'm a saint of God. I don't have to perform a miracle like the Catholic Church has to. You've got to have two or three actually verified miracles to become a saint. Well, how do they verify something that didn't take place? They do. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I'm going to finish up over here real quick. Go to Galatians chapter 1. It's so important that everybody see this. In verse 8. Paul was preaching the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God, salvation-wise. It's not being preached today to the Jew and the Greek and the remnant. It's being preached to everyone, and the name of the gospel has changed to the gospel of the grace of God. But here's what he's talking about. But though we, Paul and his entourage, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He didn't say that Peter preached unto you. He said any other gospel than what we've preached to you. And as we said before, So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. All these churches out there is preaching the four gospels for salvation, and Peter, they are accursed. That's what the Bible said. I didn't make it up. Now, where did he get his information? Where did the Apostle Paul get it? Let's look. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
That's right.
For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to finish up with this, I hope. Jesus Christ had an earthly ministry. And he walked around down here on the face of the earth for a little over 3 years, maybe 3.5 years, and he taught some apostles. That was a valid gospel. And that's how people were saved. But he changed. I know he's the same, according to Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's dealt with mankind differently in each dispensation. He changed and he gave the new message. He put prophecy on hold, and we're living in the mystery period. There's no prophecy taking place. It's called the dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he gave Paul a new message. Now we're going to cover that start next week, the two Gospels in Galatians chapter 2. Verse 7. But we'll go into that next week. But you got to see, there's a heavenly ministry that we're involved in. Our blessings are in heavenly places. Do you know the earthly ministry that the 12 are involved in? Those 12, according to Matthew 19, are going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. On this earth out of Zion, which is Jerusalem. They've got an earthly inheritance. We have a heavenly inheritance. How can you mess it up? But they easily do.
Christ died on the cross. All sins are paid. This sacrifice he gave, so we can be saved. So we can be saved. My Lord, my Savior, your death paid the price. God raised you up, the salvation's free, the salvation is free. You can be saved. My Savior, your raise you up. The salvation is mine. The salvation is mine. The finished work of the cross, that's all that I need. By grace I am saved. So heaven's where I'll be. Heaven's where I'll be.
So much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you, and join us next week.